sense that day, the ghost of the young boy, which was her son, supposedly haunts the hotel. And guests report that, like Pegleg John, he's pretty harmless, but he does enjoy moving furniture around.
Great.
Because that's what you do.
Right, yeah, I mean, right. Like, if I'm spending eternity somewhere, I guess I'm gonna like rearrange the furniture for a while.
Yeah, I imagine it gets boring eventually, right? With the couch in the same spot.
Yeah, like you gotta update the layout a little bit.
I'm Paige,
and I'm Megan,
and this is Spooky Science Sisters. Hello, you're listening to Spooky Science Sisters, a podcast where we present to you a science-based and probably very giggly discussion on all things strange and unusual.
We are super excited to have Kenny Biddle back on our show to discuss some of the most famous haunted locations and the credibility of the evidence found there. Kenny, since it has been some time since our last episode with you, would you like to remind our listeners a little bit about your background and some of the stuff you've been working on?
Absolutely. First and foremost, it is so good to be back. I love you girls.
This Yay!
Is so much fun. Just in short, I'll keep it short. I do a lot of investigating of paranormal claims. I write a column for Skeptical Inquirer called A Closer Look, and that's exactly what it does. It takes a closer look at photographs and ghost hunting equipment and claims and methods and all kinds of stuff. And I just break it down. Break it down. And then, what else I do? I do a video channel, on YouTube. I do videos on there where it's either standalone videos where I pretty much deconstruct the same thing, like equipment and photographs and methods, where I give you much more visuals because it's YouTube. And I also do a couple podcasts. Actually video live streams. I do one Friday nights called the Skeptical Help Bar, where it's a 2-hour Q&A session where people can come on and ask questions and we discuss paranormal topics. And then Saturday nights I do Three Tortured Souls, which is me and two buddies of mine, Tim Vickers and Dave Schumacher. And we pick a topic and we science the shit out of it. That's the basic idea for that. So
excellent.
So that's me in a nutshell.
For anyone who's listened to like some of our earlier episodes, you know that we are obsessed with Kenny Biddle and like Megan
said, unhealthy.
We're very excited to have him back. He's a riot, so we're super excited.
Awesome.
But before we get to our discussion today, it is time to do our Something Spooky, aka Random Shit, the Spooky Science Sisters today. So, Megan, do you have anything spooky or not so spooky you have to share?
Yes, because I recently tuned in to which at this point it will have been out for a while once this is released, but I recently tuned into the interview that Kenny did with Jason Hawes from Ghost Hunters because they are friends. And now my spooky thing is that I'm afraid that we have beef with Jason Hawes now. I got to ask him a question during it, which was very exciting. I was freaking out. And then at the end of your show, Kenny, or the end of Jason's time on your show, you brought up that damn glass at the Stanley and asked him like what had happened. And he was like, no, it wasn't a hot glass. Like, I was definitely afraid to be in that room and it was really spooky. And I was like, you are a fucking liar.
Oh my goodness.
Well, if we didn't have beef, we do now.
Sorry. No, I will cut that out. I was like, oh my gosh. We heard from Matt and Karen that you admitted that that was not paranormal at all, and the producers wanted to leave it in. So maybe he's forgotten, but yes. Now it's like we have conflicting...
I thought it was a great opportunity, especially when I saw you in the chat room. I was like, oh, I'm going to ask about this glass.
Oh, my God.
Because I was actually hoping that he would confirm it And yeah, for that, that would, you know, make you happy. Like, holy shit, we actually got confirmation right from his mouth.
Yes.
And then when he had that look on his face, like he didn't know what I was talking about, I was like, oh shit, this went wrong.
Yeah, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that, you know, it was maybe a long time ago. And like, maybe he just forgot, you know, what has, right, what happened since then. Or yeah. So, but I was like, oh no, this is really awkward. Anyway, Paige, has anything spooky happened to you?
I know you're going to be shocked, but no.
Great.
The spookies, the spookies have left the building. Nothing here. What about you, Kenny? Anything spooky going on over there?
Well, let's see. I did have some a story I could share with you. And
great.
I'm pretty sure I have an explanation for it, but it was fun when it was happening. So I've been addicted to TikTok. Okay. So and I hate that app so much because I'm just so addicted to it now. And I got this idea that I would start because I have a whole bunch of allegedly haunted items.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in my basement right now. And I set up a little mini museum. And I think we might have touched on why I don't have a big museum anymore on the last episode that we did. But
well, I think you were still trying to set up the big museum episode. And then, yeah, when we were on your show, you right, mentioned that, like, yeah, that something had fallen through with that, with yeah, the property or something. So,
yeah,
which is a bummer.
It is. It was a nice space. But mm-hmm, anyway, this stuff is all set up in my basement, and I've been doing TikTok videos of each item. Why do you keep laughing when I say TikTok? am I saying it wrong?
No. Paige is, which you may have caught on previous episodes, but maybe we've only talked about it like on ones that aren't out yet. I don't know. But I have been addicted to TikTok for like months and months now. And much to Paige's dismay, I send her TikTok videos all the time that I think are funny or clever or whatever. And Paige is like, I watch like maybe a third of the ones that you send. Like, Paige is not having it. So it's sort of just like a thing now where Paige really just like, please stop sending me TikTok videos. And I'm like, Paige.
Well, knowing this, maybe I'm going to have to dedicate a few just to her. I'll just excellent, save it for the last like 3 seconds of the video and go, hey, Paige.
They'll be floating around out there and I will have never watched them.
No. I'll send them to her, but she won't watch them. But there's been, she's like definitely been kept apprised of like us, because now we've got like, 5,500
words,
which is absurd. And she's also been kept apprised of like you joining TikTok because I was very excited about that. And the fact that like now the museum's got like 3,500 followers and your other account has a bunch. So it's exciting.
Nice. Yeah. So I was doing a one about a doll that I have that's allegedly haunted and mm-hmm, I had lost it. And I didn't know where it was. Like, I have this inventory because in my head, because I know all of the objects that have been given to me because I think they're really cool. And I set everything up and I'm looking around going, there's a doll missing.
Oh, no.
There's a doll missing. I'm like, that's ironic. You know, skeptic. Whatever.
Right.
See him and one of his dolls is just walking around somewhere. Great. So I started looking for it. I actually told my wife about it and, you know, I could see on her face, like, she's like, oh, shit. Don't tell me. I'm like, no, I'll find it. So I actually found it up in my office at home. Mm. It was under a pile of stuff in the closet. And I wasn't sure how it got there, but probably I just brought a whole bunch of stuff in because it was a very hasty move from the big museum that I got kicked out of mm-hmm, to my home. So I probably just dumped a whole bunch of stuff up here just to get it out of the way. And so I finally found it. I brought it home, brought it down to the basement. I set it up behind me on the couch. So it's sitting like on the top of the couch. And I start doing a video, mm-hmm, like an update saying, hey, you know, I found it. And mm-hmm, it starts playing music during the video.
Oh, I saw that one.
And I stopped. I actually stopped at the, like, filming the video. I didn't stop the video, but I stopped talking to the video going, here we go.
Yeah.
Like, it's playing music. But most likely it was just, it's got a music box in it. So it probably was overcranked. And it just, when I sat back or made a movement, because it was leaning up against the wall, it probably just went a couple notes, because that's what it did. It just played a couple notes. But it was cool. It was very cool timing. It was very creepy because it's a doll with, like, dark eyes, and it looks really creepy anyway. So when it just started playing music, I was like, this is perfect. You know,
I'm going in the middle of you making this video, like, about, like, oh, I found my haunted doll. It's like, hello, I'm here.
None of this shit's haunted. I don't know. And then it started playing music. I'm like, great, great. That makes me look like an idiot. Great.
No. While you, if you ever have any that, like, really creep you out, you can just send them to Paige, because, like, she loves spooky dolls. So,
I was wondering, really, what I need to do is start letting our guests do their something spooky first, because they always remind me of a story that I have that I can talk about. Have I ever talked about my spooky porcelain doll story on here? I don't remember.
Ooh. You told the story about, like, one of them, like, falling off of a shelf or something in the middle of the night.
Yeah, before. Like, several times, but, like, never breaking and just sort of being on the floor. And it was, like, one that was I had the coolest bedroom growing up, Kenny. It was
you wouldn't know, because it was under a layer of detritus most of the time.
I was a disgusting child, but like, my room. So I'm really painting a picture here for you. It was green and pink and had SpongeBob and Patrick doing ballet painted on the wall, and then on the other wall there was, like, mirrors and a ballet bar because I danced, but above those mirrors was a shelf, and that's where all my porcelain dolls were. And they had been there for, like, years. Disgustingly enough, I don't know that I ever took them down to dust that shelf in the entire time they were up there. But there was one that was sort of, like, tucked behind some other dolls. And when I woke up in the morning, it had just sort of, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess it must have just fallen, but it didn't knock any of the other dolls down, and it didn't break, even though it was porcelain and it hit a wood floor. And then I put it back up there and it sort of just fell again. So that's all that happened, but it's really stuck with me.
As it should.
Yeah.
Because obviously that doll wanted to be front and center and you weren't paying enough attention.
Right.
Yeah. You still have them all though, right?
Yes, but they're in boxes because Elliot told me that I'm not allowed to take them out.
You, like, have to start fucking with them, though.
Oh, I'm going to use them as a Halloween decoration one year. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, he's going to come home from work and they're going to be everywhere.
Or, like, once you have, like, front windows, like, on Halloween, just have them all, like, staring
out. Because I have, like, I probably have, like, 20-some.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going crazy.
I would definitely take one, like, every other day or something and just move it. Different location in the house. Don't say anything about it. Just move it.
Yep.
I'm going to come home one day and all my dolls are going to be broken.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Elliot would, like, definitely find a way to ruin your life if you started that game. So.
All right.
Hey there. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Audrey.
We are a sister filmmaking duo
and co-hosts of Sleepover Cinema,
our show where we analyze the films that created the collective unconscious of the girls, gays, and theys of the late 90s and early 2000s.
Princess Diaries, The Cheetah Girls, Aquamarine, Cinderella, the one starring Brandy.
We haven't stopped thinking about these movies since we first saw them, and we want you to rewatch them
and review them with us.
Are these movies as bad as critics would have us believe?
Do we even care if they are?
We are always unpacking that very question on Sleepover Cinema.
Check out Sleepover Cinema wherever you get your podcasts or at evergreenpodcasts.com.
See you soon.
Enough about porcelain dolls.
Enough about porcelain dolls. We can start talking about ghosts. Okay. So, I guess I would say that since the last time, I feel like we've learned so many things. Well, from the last time that we did sort of like ghost debunking, but also from, yeah, just generally doing the show and talking to the interview with Matt and Karen and everything.
Right.
So I feel like researching was a little bit different for this one. Last time we're like, yeah, let's like watch ghost hunting reality show episodes on these places. And this time I just like, I basically avoided those entirely. Because now I'm like entirely disillusioned that anything in them could possibly be real. So, because I've heard too many things where it's like, I thought this was really spooky, and then someone's like, nope, that was fake. It's like, God damn it. Yes. And then I also didn't spend a ton of time, or we also didn't spend a ton of time looking much into like debunking anecdotes or like just, you know, stories that didn't have any like physical, I guess, physical meaning audio or visual evidence attached, just because they're basically impossible to verify unless you were there.
I mean, it's a shame because in the ghost hunting community, I think that's the most evidence, I guess, that's presented. Anecdotes are, and they, it's hard. It's difficult from our standpoint because if we're listening to it, especially if somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know, this experience happened to me. What do you think? Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm going, yeah, cool story, bro. But no.
Yeah.
Right. You know, but you can't say that because that's too confrontational. But you have to start being polite and saying, well, you know, it sounds really cool, but let's remember this is just a story. This is your perspective. There's a lot of things going on in the background that you weren't aware of. So we have to break this down and see, you know, what? Let's break it down. And like all 80s style.
Yeah. So they're hard to verify, but also like, yeah, like you said, the reasons behind them or what they could be other than you saw a ghost is they're pretty much all the same, right? Like it's confirmation bias. Like you're going in there with some preconceived notion of what you're going to see. It's pareidolia. So your brain's just telling you that there's, you know, something humanoid there that's not. Or, you know, in some cases, it's like a straight up hallucination from like mental illness or an environmental factor or something like that.
And they also evolve over time.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, you get the embellishments sneak in there. It's not always deliberate, but people get it in their heads when they have an experience and they're not ready for it. They're not paying attention. It just happens and they take it away. They tell somebody else. That somebody else says, oh, you know, that place is haunted, right? And then all these influences start coming in and 2, 3, 5 years later, you have a completely different story than what you started out with.
Yes. Well, and I know we talked about this last time, but it's like it's like with people who have experienced any sort of crime or like observed any sort of crime happening, like people's recall is pretty bad.
It really is.
Well, and it reminds me of I can't remember if I talked about this before, but it reminds me of in my high school psychology class that I took, they did this like staged, like, I don't know, crime or mugging thing or something. Like somebody ran into the classroom and like did something really crazy or like stole something from somebody and, you know, and then ran back out and left. And then we all had to, like, some amount of time later, like, recount what we remembered about it. Like, what was the person wearing, or like, what did they say exactly? Because they had like a script that they were going off of. And it was like, we were all terrible at it. And it was like a real thing that happened, like an actual person that ran into the room and did something that should be memorable. So it's like when people are like stressed out or they see something that surprises them, like their recall is going to be bad. It does remind me though, and I promised I wasn't going to talk about ghost shows, but I'm going to talk about ghost shows. Just talking about like ways that, I don't know, my brain is going to, like, we're already on a tangent. My brain is going to, like, how could you make, shut up, Paige. Like, how could you make like an experience like this more valid, or like how could it be more believable? And there is an episode of Ghost Hunters where I'm sure you'll ruin, I've literally no idea where it was, but I think it's I don't know where they are, but two of the guys claim they see like a full-bodied apparition, and they immediately stop them, they say they immediately stop them, but again, I'm totally disillusioned now, but they claim that they immediately stop them, and they're like, don't say anything about it to each other. We want you to like individually recount to the camera what you saw, and then like see how close it matches up. And it was like their stories were the same, like they saw the same thing, but again, we don't know what was happening. But it's like that would be an example of something like if two people saw something and then were able to like separately tell the same story.
That would be impressive. That would be. And I've done that a bunch of times where I've taken people and multiple people that have experienced the same thing and taken them aside and asked them questions, specific questions, not just what did you see? It's the other questions that you touched on earlier where it was like, all right, what were they wearing?
Yeah.
What did they look like? What were they carrying? What did they say? You know, these questions and note them down, and then you compare it to the other person. And every time it's always different.
Yeah.
It's never the same.
Yeah. So anyway, tangent aside, we didn't spend a ton of time with those stories, like trying to like debunk them, because again, I feel like the reasons behind them are typically the same. So
It's very hard to debunk anecdotes.
Yeah.
Because it's their perception. it's what they perceived and what they, you know, filled in years later, and all we can do is speculate.
Right. Yes, exactly. Which, like, we're going to wildly speculate anyway about other things, but, you know, personal anecdotes are tough. So anyway, Paige, you're going to do your spot first, so you should do that.
Okay.
I'm so excited.
Okay, so I will be covering the Congress Plaza Hotel, and I wanted to do this because a couple of years ago, Megan and I did a girls' weekend in Chicago, and we went on a walking ghost tour of the city, as we do, and during that tour, we got to go visit the Congress Plaza Hotel. Yeah, the hotel itself, the lobby was beautiful, and it seemed like a really nice place to stay. And I don't know how you felt about this, Megan, but like I definitely felt like there were a couple areas that gave me like sort of weird vibes while we were in there.
Really?
Yeah, just like, and it was probably just the stories they were telling.
Yeah.
Like when we went up to what is considered like the most haunted room area, like I did think it looked, you know, the stories they tell, and like it wasn't as well upkept as some of the other areas. So like I could. It gave me just like a different vibe, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I think it used to be probably like a very fancy hotel and stuff. And like now it's a little bit more run down. So yeah, I think that just sort of like lends it spookiness.
Right.
Even at like 10 a.m. in the morning. But and like we're hearing ghost stories while we're sitting there. But I did want to point out, like, it wasn't just a ghost tour. It was, like, a history/true crime tour as well. So give us a little credit.
Yeah, well, I think it was, like, the Gangsters and Ghosts tour, right?
Yes, that's what it was. Yeah. So it was super fun. They did – the tour guide was really fun, and she had, like, a lot of great stories about, just about, like, classic Chicago – mobsters and stuff. So it was really fun. But now that you've brought this up and you're like, oh, we should do it because we were on that tour, I was like, we have to also do the Iroquois Theater where all the people died in the fire.
Oh, next time. I was reminded of like several spots that we had talked about on that tour while looking up stuff for this episode. And I was like, oh, we should talk about this. We should talk about this. So
I think the Congress though in Chicago is definitely one of the bigger spots, like they play into it as well. Like they have like a huge like Halloween ball every year and stuff. Nice. And yeah, like it's supposed to be a big Chicago haunted hotspot. So
you said have you just not ever been there, Kenny, or like you just don't know any of the stories about it?
I don't know anything. I'm going in totally blind here.
Well, that's exciting.
Totally blind.
There we go. Well, if you're ever in Chicago, you should check out that Gangsters and Ghost tour because I remember learning a ton and it was a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay, so first, a little bit of history. Originally, it was known as the Auditorium Annex. And it was built on the corner of Congress Parkway and South Michigan Avenue in Chicago in 1893 in anticipation for the 1893 World's Fair.
Yeah, which is like everything on that stretch of road is like across from Grant Park is like they just built up that whole area for the World's Fair. Yep. So, yeah.
Over the next 70 years or so, it goes through several renovations. It currently features 871 guest rooms, a ballroom, restaurants, etc. But at the time, it was quite a bit smaller than that. You know, a lot of big names have stayed at the Congress Plaza Hotel, including several presidents. Al Capone is a big name that it's big thing that we talked about on our tour.
Yeah.
And a lot of his business associates stayed there. And it's also said that H.H. Holmes came to the Congress Plaza Hotel lobby to seek out and lure his victims back to his murder castle.
Which, like, of course he did.
Right. Though I have, like, also read and heard that that's just like made up to make the Congress Plaza Hotel look spookier. And that actually the hotel he went to was like down the road. So
probably
who really knows.
I mean, like, is it possible that he went into that hotel? Sure.
Probably. But, and I'm sure he did at least one time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, we talk about H.H. Holmes and I'm just like endlessly sad that the movie that was supposed to happen about him like appears to just like be tabled forever.
I know. I was excited about it.
Yeah. They're like gonna do a movie with like Leonardo DiCaprio and then it got turned into a show maybe and like now I haven't heard anything about it for like 2 years now. So.
There is a new Hulu show. A new H.H. Holmes Hulu show that came out.
No, was that documentary that you sent us?
Maybe.
It's terrible.
Oh, is it bad? Dang it.
That's great. I love that. Sent, like,
I was like, this looks great.
Wait, this one? No, that sucks. That sucks. Don't watch that shit.
Okay, to be fair, I only watched like 5 minutes of it, but I was like, this is terrible. So I'm not going to watch it. But it might not be the same one. So if there's like actually a new
that's
one.
That's the way I feel every time I watch Ghost Adventures.
Well, now.
5 minutes and I'm done.
Ruined it.
Oh, no. Someone. I'm looking at it now. Reddit, H.H. Holmes documentary is a waste of time.
Yeah, it was bad enough that I was like, I can't even make it through like 5 minutes of this.
Oh, that's poopy.
I know.
No, wait, are you talking about Devil in the White City?
No, that's the book, which I still have to read. It's like sitting on my bookshelf downstairs. But is that a new documentary?
I thought Hulu had done a series on it.
No.
Anyways,
it's fine. This is not related, so we're just gonna keep going,
keep moving. But what is important is if you like true crime and you've never heard of H.H. Holmes, you should absolutely go Google him at the end of this episode. Because very spooky man, but like very interesting story.
And it's a real bummer that his like murder castle is just like abandoned now, or did he get torn down?
I think it's just a. Abandoned. Like, I think it still exists.
Yeah, but it's also like
we asked. His grave is out by me. H.H. Holmes. I think his grave is in the. It's a cemetery that's South Philly.
Okay,
it's an unmarked grave, but I think it's. I don't remember the story. I just remember seeing something about it online and. News reports that came up and said, oh, he's here. So if I get it down there, I'll get a picture for you.
How cool.
Sweet.
And you know what? No, his murder castle doesn't exist because that's where the post office is now in Chicago. That's what it is.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure if they had like turned the building into a post office, but I guess that would be like sort of fucked up to be like,
come we're get just going to
leave this here. Also maybe get murdered.
Oh boy.
Okay, so so the history of, you know, Al Capone being there, the potential H.H. Holmes involvement, along with several deaths that had occurred at the hotel, which include, you know, stories of suicide and murder, basically has all led to it now being considered Chicago's most haunted hotel and also being considered one of the most haunted hotels in the country, which I'm pretty certain like is like the fourth time we have said it's one of the most haunted hotels in the country.
Yeah, you're about to say it again for the place that you're talking about. So.
There are reports that Al Capone's body has been seen haunting the lobby.
Like his body or like him?
Is it just limping around?
Well,
like,
like a
puppet?
That's a weird way to put it. That just sounds like, oh, he's just laying great. There.
His body's just like bouncing around.
It could just be his head. You don't know. I'm the entire body. Which like, here's what I'll say about this. You'll find out that I did not find a ton of like, there's not a ton of photographs or videos or anything about the Congress Hotel. So like I didn't have a ton to pull from. But uh-huh. It's like if you're telling me that Al Capone is like floating around in the lobby somewhere, where the hell are the pictures of this? Like,
yeah.
I
would be taking photos. So
are there like surveillance cameras? I'm sure there's
right. There's gotta be something
yeah.
out there. But anyways, so Al Capone's hanging out there still. There's a the ghost of Peg Leg John who
let's talk about Peg Leg.
Who like seems like a pretty harmless ghost, and he is said to turn lights and electronics on and off. Mm-hmm. And then there's a story of a woman who years ago was very distraught over her immigrant status, and that she apparently grew increasingly more angry until she decides to throw both of her children and herself out of a hotel window.
Oh, no. I think I remember that story from the tour.
Yeah. And since that day, the ghost of the young boy, which was her son, supposedly haunts the hotel. And guests report that, like Peg Leg John, he's pretty harmless, but he does enjoy moving furniture around.
Great.
Because that's what you do.
Right, yeah, I mean, right. Like if I'm spending eternity somewhere, I guess I'm gonna like rearrange the furniture. A while.
Yeah, I imagine it gets boring eventually, right? With the couch in the same spot.
Yeah, like you gotta update the layout a little bit.
Okay, so yeah, it's you know, people are saying it's haunted. And then there's this room 441, which Megan and I actually got to stand outside of. And it is considered the most haunted room in the hotel. And it accounts for most of the calls to security, accounts for more than any other room in their hotel.
Sweet.
If you're ever booking at the Congress Plaza Hotel, don't worry. You cannot accidentally book the room. You must specifically contact them and request room 441 if you want to stay there. Which we're going to do at some point, right?
Are we, though?
Is there any stories like what's supposed to happen in that room?
You know what? Let me see if I still have it up. I don't know that I do. There's like, you know, scream and nobody gets hurt. Like it's like screaming or, you know, things get thrown or move. I mean, nothing I can pull up. Hold on. Let me get you.
I think that's what I'm going to do when I own a hotel. I'm just going to say, yeah, room 441 is the most haunted room. You can't book it by mistake. You have to ask for it. Specifically, and I bet you that is my most popular room.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I pulled up pictures from that weekend, and I'm looking at a picture of door 441 right now. It does not look that spooky.
Any ghosts in it?
No ghosts. And I apparently took a picture of a stairwell, so there must have been some story about that, but no ghosts.
I forgot. There's a story apparently about like a shadow woman who like kicks people awake.
Rude.
People report seeing objects move and hearing terrifying noises. There were a couple of people who said that they'd heard screams in the room. And I mean, really, that's about it. Like some shadow figure things going on. But yeah. I mean, nothing too terrible, I guess.
Yeah. And this isn't like supposed to be the room that the woman and her kids were in.
I don't think that it doesn't even say, at least what I have read doesn't specify.
Great.
It looks like it's a different room. I'm looking at it now. I'm looking at the stories and it just seems to be a different room, which I mean, I would put money that the ghost boy rearranging the furniture is probably more wanted, quote unquote, than the one that just where somebody wakes you up by kicking your feet.
Right.
So, I want to see some chairs moving around and shit. I want to see some poltergeists. Come on.
So that's all just a very long way to say that people think that this place is haunted. Mm-hmm. So evidence there, it should not come as a surprise to anybody, but you know, for as many blog posts, articles, YouTube videos that I like sifted through, there just like really wasn't much out there. Like I said, I had a hard time finding many photos or recordings.
Yeah.
So I pulled whatever little physical evidence that I could find. And what
that seems like the case for a lot of places, like even for big places, like really big places that we did before, it's surprisingly hard to find.
I remember
that many
getting
pictures.
Pretty frustrated with one of the first ones that I looked up last time because I couldn't seem to find like much of anything. This time I like just kept watching terrible YouTube video after terrible YouTube video until I found something we could talk about. So I just sent it in our chat.
Yay.
Kenny, if you want to pull that up.
Okay.
And I've got three different timestamps I want us to look at. So the first time stamp that I'd like you guys to go to is 15 minutes flat.
I'm at 14:57. So just let me know when you want us to play it.
Okay. And we'll play, it's like about a minute of it, but like you'll know when to stop.
Okay. And we will post when we share this episode, we will post like a image that has all the timestamps that you can go to in these videos. So,
oh, and I would like to make a comment real quick that the reason I specifically ended up landing on this video was because there was like a significant number of comments that like seemed to believe that something paranormal was going on.
Yeah, there are a lot of comments on here talking about stuff that had happened. So I think I might have to watch an ad. So I'm going to start mine playing.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead if you want to go too, Kenny.
I just saw it.
Okay.
Okay. Hold on. I have to watch it still. It almost sounded like a distant, distorted because of the echo and distance, like a dog barking or something.
That is exactly what I heard.
Okay. I think it's a dog barking.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. Oh, my God. Come on now, people.
So
I'm sorry.
What do you think it is, Kenny?
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely a dog barking outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they have a ton of windows around them.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we can see, let's see, what's the outside look like? All right, so you have a park. Right,
yeah, there's a big park right across the street. Right.
So, wow. Yeah. I mean, when we put these subtle clues together, and that's, oh my God, with headphones, you can clearly hear a dog. I have no doubt about that.
Yeah. And, the comments are so funny though. Like the first comment is 1540, which would be the same, you know, the same sound that we're hearing. It says, sounds like a party going on in there, even though one voice is noticeable. It sounds like a male and he's either excited or agitated. It's like, no, it's a dog.
I mean, there's you can see the door leading outside.
Yeah.
You know, she's right at the door.
It looks like it's daytime.
Yeah, so it is daytime, but I will say I looked it up and it's on the 8th floor. So that door, I think, just leads out into like a hallway.
Okay. I still – like, do we know, do they let dogs in the hotel?
I checked. It is not a dog-friendly hotel.
Okay. But like, I think it's still a distant dog.
Yeah, it's still distorted. Just a distant dog.
And they're picking it up on like sensitive sound equipment, so.
Right.
And it's so low, and especially when they amplify it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's – This is a classic case of anomaly hunting. They're not they're not investigating here. They are looking for something, anything that might stand out and be weird. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they hear it, even though it's a dog, they're like, check this shit out. You know, we got a video of a ghost. Because this place is haunted. Therefore, this sound that we're not identifying is absolutely a ghost.
Yeah.
Not.
Yeah. Okay. I'm excited for the next timestamp.
So that's a dog. This one, the next one is hands down my favorite. So prepare yourself. We are now going to travel to minute 25, 25 flat.
No! Are you kidding me? That's how you investigate right there. I don't know what it is, but you know, we're going to show it as evidence.
Literally, I will go take a picture of like the wood in my laundry room and there are smudges on there from like water over the years. Like, come on.
He put a face on it. He drew eyes and a mouth and a nose. Oh my God.
Oh no. That is so, that's like Zach Bagans level face.
Wow. I don't really think there's anything to debunk here.
No, that is like a stained door.
But they try to claim that it's like near the lobby, and so like they wouldn't leave a stain like that.
That hotel's like sort of shitty. Yes, they would.
But in that same comment, Megan, I don't know if you read this, but that same person says the spot looks sort of head shaped, and the hotel seems like the kind that wouldn't just leave stains or scuffs on the doors.
False. I'm literally looking at the picture of their most haunted room, 441, and I can count at least 5 stains on it.
I mean, you look at the close up, you can see it's scratched up.
Yeah.
The door's scratched up. And
that's the eyes and the mouth.
Oh, no. I mean, like down.
Yeah, down.
Oh,
further.
Yeah, okay.
Down further. Yeah. Like, yeah, below the awful drawing that they put on top of this. Yeah, there's good scratches or missing parts to that. Oh my God, that face is so. The face he draws is scarier than anything I've seen. That's freaking right there.
Okay. All right. What's our next spot, Paige?
So then we'll fast forward again to 27 minutes. And for this one, I want you to listen to like 10 seconds and then pause it. Okay. So what do you guys have to say about this one?
That's just a person. Hello. Yeah.
This is like the classic reason why quote unquote evidence from ghost hunters is never accepted, because there's no controls. It's somebody wandering around with their phone, just wandering around the halls.
Yeah.
Right.
No, not paying attention to anything around them. And then it's days later that they review it and go, oh, look, there's a sound.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like even in but if you like zoom forward, I notice they're trying to like debunk it or whatever, and they're like, it's not wind from the elevator, like it's not, they're like people talking in hallway, different sound, like but there were people talking in the hallway, so presumably there are people elsewhere.
Exactly. So that's what I was gonna have you guys do next, is just like play it a little bit longer, because like 30 seconds later, not even, there's two people near them having like a full conversation.
Oh my God.
And it's like, you literally just heard that person say hello.
Yeah.
That's all that happened here. So, like I said, I mean, these weren't necessarily difficult things, I don't think, to look at and to think about. But I do think, it was at least fun to look at it. And like you said, so many times, like had they just cut out the conversation of the person, it just would have been left with like somebody screaming hello in the background. And then it would have been this big mystery.
I mean, I guess to their credit, they pointed out that there were other people around. But like,
right.
Because I feel like there are plenty of, you know, people who would just not even reveal that was the fact.
Right.
Show it as like, we heard a ghost say hello, but like not admit like there are other people around here.
But you know what, this shows the methodology that they use. I mean, this it's a 30 minute video. And even if they like, props to them for pointing out there's other people there talking, but that right away should negate your EVP or whatever you think it is beforehand. Because you just found out people were talking. So therefore, why are you putting this in here?
Yeah.
Or change it up.
Yeah, like that alone should be like, okay, well, we just scrub that evidence because
right.
because we can't control for like what else was picked up, or we don't know if like there was somebody else who walked away from those people or whatever. So
yeah. I mean, that would be better if they would actually just say, hey, look, we caught this voice. We thought it was a voice at first, but we did find other people talking. Therefore, we can't include this. It's invalid.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. But importantly, though, Paige, like this is the best evidence that you found. Right?
Yeah. That's sad. I mean, I did. I also found a guy who did like an EVP session.
Yeah.
But like, actually, all he was doing was knocking on the door and asking a ghost to knock back, which isn't really an EVP session.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't know. Maybe it is. It's not an electronic voice phenomenon if it's a knocking on the door, but sure, whatever.
But like, I mean, that's pretty much it. Now, that's not to say there's not other videos that are, you know, 2 hours long that I just didn't sift through.
Right.
But like, I put a decent amount of time trying to find photos and stuff, and this is what I found.
yeah. Luckily for me, I was able to find videos that were a lot shorter. So I didn't have to watch anything long. Okay, well, do we have any other thoughts on the Congress other than for being one of the most haunted hotels in one of the largest cities in the country? There is a shockingly low amount of evidence that has been captured that you could like actually look at and see.
Right. And I mean, even the stories, when you just look at them, like Peg Leg Johnny, which is a first and foremost awesome name.
Yes.
Awesome name. Yeah, props to them, whoever came up with that. But just turning out lights, that's so easy to do and
right.
keep mm-hmm. it going, you know? Mm-hmm. Like you can just reach over and hit the switch and tell everyone, sorry, you know, oh, it's Peg Leg Johnny. He's messing yeah. up again. Sorry. Well,
yeah. And it's also like a 120-year-old hotel that right. is like, you know, in a little bit of disrepair. So probably some of their wiring is pretty crappy.
Right. There's a lot of explanation for this.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to do with somebody with a peg leg that we don't know who it is going around turning. Because that's what you do, I guess, when you're a ghost. You move furniture, you screw with the lights. I don't know.
Yeah.
But with the boy, the ghost boy, I mean, the event that described is a mother tossing her two kids out the window
mm-hmm.
to kill them and then jumping herself.
Mm-hmm.
If this was a legitimate event, we should be able to find something about this. There should be some kind of record.
Yeah, we should.
Newspaper article. And
I think there is. I believe there is. I believe that did actually happen.
Okay.
It's just, you know, the ghost coming back and actually haunting the hotel. That's the issue.
Why would just one boy and not the other one?
That's what I was like. There were two kids. So like, where's the other kid?
Also, like, she was the one that was like super distraught and like having a bad time, so you would think that she would be like angry haunting people. We don't know, but I will say that I believe one of the sources that I have for the Congress Plaza Hotel does have an article attached for that specific event.
That would be interesting to see.
Gotcha.
And I mean, not to be morbid here, but if the boy was thrown out the window, he died on the sidewalk. Why would he haunt the room and not the sidewalk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking outside the box here. the room, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
But again, that's morbid, so I don't want to explore it too much. But
well,
I would think he would be more prominent and visible, I guess, when he wanted to be on the sidewalk outside the hotel rather than in the hotel, just moving furniture around.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay, well, yeah,
moving on.
Okay, so this is a suggestion from TikTok, which I'm sure Paige is very excited about. But I'm going to do Victoria's Black Swan Inn, which is located in San Antonio, Texas. Interesting tangent, because I always have a tangent. While I was looking stuff up for this, I came across an article that referenced, I don't know, a website called slotsource.com, which I was like, why the fuck would a slot machine website write this article? But whatever. Or why would anyone on a slot machine website write this article? Like, maybe we're betting on ghosts or something. But so they had taken data from a site called ghostsofamerica.com, which is like apparently a site that people that like looks like it was probably made in like 1995 and people report ghost sightings on it. And they compiled data from it to make a list of the 20 most haunted states. So Texas, which is where the Black Swan Inn is located, was listed as the highest with 6,845 ghost sightings on the site, if you go by the total number of sightings. But, I mean, Texas is huge. And yeah, has a very long history. So like, I'm sure there's just like a large number of historical sites that people are visiting and then convincing themselves that they've seen a ghost. If you go by rate though, so this is what I found interesting. If you go by rate, Oklahoma is actually the highest. So if you take the number of sightings relative to their population at .0435% of Oklahomans apparently have seen a ghost. Although it's more like 0.0435% of Oklahomans have submitted their ghost sighting to right. this website. But yeah, I guess like, yeah, it sort of works.
This is the number of ghost sightings, not the number of people, right?
Yeah. So this is the rate of ghost sightings, like relative to the total population of Oklahoma.
But like 600 people or like one person could go in and submit 15 ghost
You are sightings. Correct. They okay. could do that, I think. Okay. I don't actually know if there's any controls. But either way, it was like, so the Texas rate, which was like the highest number of total sightings, was like 0.0238%. And like one of the highest other ones was like a 0.025 or something. I was like, what the heck is going on in Oklahoma? They're like... almost double the rate of, like, it's not much, but yeah, almost double the rate. So apparently Oklahomans are a superstitious bunch, which I don't know what that's about, but that's my tangent for this story.
Okay.
So if anyone's from Oklahoma, let us know. Why do you guys see so many ghosts?
It's the most haunted state in the country.
Maybe they have nothing else to do.
That's probably what it is. Yeah, because like Ohio was high on the list in Indiana. And I was like, well, we have nothing else to do. So of course we're going to see ghosts. Okay. So the Black Swan Inn was built in 1867 and was apparently built on the site of the 1842 Battle of Salado, which was a battle between the United States and Mexico, because Mexico wanted Texas back. So currently I think it's a private home and has been for a while, but they do host parties and other events and let people stay overnight. And they let ghost hunters book overnight investigations. Like, this is their brand. Like, they do like paranormal investigations. They do, you can do, it was like something like basically a sleep overnight. You just get to like hang out in the hotel with your friends at night, which does sound pretty fun, to be fair. But it does make me skeptical that like they've made a whole thing out of this, right? Like they've sort of made it like a whole thing for them, because it's their brand that it's like of this very haunted location. And of course, I'm also skeptical because it's been featured on an episode of Ghost Adventures.
Your believability points just went down.
Yes. And I did not look at, or I didn't watch the episode, like I said, but I did at least glance at the photo album that they had on the Ghost Adventures website for that investigation. And like, the photo album had like literally zero ghost related things on it. So not promising, like, that even those dummies like couldn't find anything to fake. So Kenny's like, why did I come back on this show?
Oh, I love it.
Okay. The one weird thing though about, so about the Ghost Adventures episode, which, yeah, I'll just let you guys react to this. So apparently they had the owner sit in on an EVP session they were doing, and they caught an EVP that apparently said Bozier. And apparently that is a code word that the owner and her mother agreed that they would use to communicate after her mother died. So like her mother had recently passed away and they had agreed on this code word, and then they heard it during the EVP session. And I was like, sure.
Did you listen to it?
I didn't listen to it. We should look it up though, right?
Probably.
Okay.
I was like, guaranteed it's just going to be like,
I'm sure that it's just random noise. But she claimed that there was like she felt something like during the thing. But it's like, well, of course you're like emotional about the fact that your mother recently passed away. So like you're going to hear things.
Yeah.
We said that we wouldn't do Ghost Adventure stuff, but we're doing it.
Too late.
I'm interested. I would be interested to know if, I mean, I imagine so, that she is the one who points it out, not Zach and friends.
Yeah. Well, okay. So moving forward, she very much believes, like, there's a ton of like press appearances and stuff that she's done related to the hotel or the location being haunted. So she apparently claims that the activity at the house is because it's built on limestone bedrock with water underneath, and that there are creeks on either side, so it's a triangle of energy.
Good grief, Charlie Brown.
And apparently, the railroad tracks and radio towers that are nearby make it an electromagnetic field hotspot.
Oh my goodness. I wish there was a audio representation of how hard I'm shaking my head back
and forth. I almost put in the notes like, I don't know how to convey like enormous eye rolling on a podcast, but that's what's happening. So like Paige said, it would not surprise me if like she was heard something that, yeah. It was just noise.
this is something that's because we don't know the specifics. We don't know the details, the behind the scenes stuff. Yes. Like that's one scenario where she was listening for it and maybe heard it, and they isolated it and said, okay, we're going to amplify this and we're going to play this and we're going to prime you. Another scenario, another possibility is that it was discussed beforehand and they revealed it to Zach and his crew. And therefore they did any kind of recordings to get it to happen. Or, you know, let's pick out what's closest to this word and let's play it without actually hearing it. And now damn it, you got me curious. I want to actually hear the recording.
So now I'm now you're going to have to watch an episode.
Damn it.
Yeah. Well, you should be able to skip forward though. So you just got to find that specific part of it. So, because it's got to be right after that clip that we watched. Yeah. So I'm sure that you just have to find that and then just watch a couple more minutes.
Right.
So it'll be minimal Ghost Adventures watching.
I try to do that all the time. Just minimal.
Okay. So, but the location itself has, you know, this whole haunted history on their website. So, of course, you know, it's claimed to be a Native American burial ground and people see Native American ghosts because, like, of course they do. there's this battle that took place there. And, like, that's legit. There was actually the Battle of Salado. And there were 60 Mexican soldiers that were killed there. So people, of course, see ghosts of soldiers and like hear noises of a battle taking place. Some of the earliest residents of the property were German immigrants. And like, basically, if you go through the history on here, it's like everyone who lived there is apparently now a ghost or like was just like on the property. So it's so, like, of course, these people have ghosts. So people have caught figures in the windows on thermal imaging cameras, which like we all know how we feel about that. There have been EVPs of a man telling people to get out of the barn, and which is creepy. And there's two to three, apparently, there's like several children, but at least from this family, there's like two to three little girls and other children that like run around the property fucking with people. According to the website, though, so they say that one of the children is a girl named Sarah Mahler, except they, who like, I guess, likes to play pranks on people. But then they also list the dates that she lived, and she lived from 1882 to 1958. So it's like, well, she was most definitely not a child when she died. And like, I somehow doubt that she even died on the property. So it's like, why did she come back as her ghost child self then?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of like little details like that that just don't really add up. So it's like, why I'm not putting a ton of stock in this stuff.
That's one of the oops on the website. You're like, right. Oh, we didn't realize we screwed up the date.
Yeah, I was like, you like basically instantly debunked that for yourselves by putting it on your website a paragraph earlier. Yes, but there are other owners, you know, one who died of old age in the house, and people go into her room and they feel, you know, sort of depressed. One person is said to have committed, suicide in the house, or that's what it was ruled, his death was ruled as, but apparently he was found with his hands tied behind his back. So, of course, the psychics from the sci-fi TV show Sightings had a field day with that. About how he had like really been murdered and all this stuff. Apparently his wife also died young, at age 38 of cancer. So she's seen around the house too. And then it, you know, passes into other hands and like eventually becomes this more commercial property. But one of the recent ones I thought was actually quite funny. They said one person was bitten and bruised on the inner thigh by an unseen toddler through a long, heavy dress. And my initial thought was like, no, that's just an actual toddler. Like, they definitely bite. <Yeah. laughs> Like, I literally have a bruise on my shoulder right now from my toddler biting me. Wow. So, yay. So, I mean, with like all the stories, like there's a, you know, over 150 years of stories, and people are having like all sorts of like, they're seeing apparitions and, you know, catching all this evidence and stuff. So I was actually able to find some good clips, several EVPs and a shadow figure. So I'm going to send those to you guys individually. Interesting though, so the Black Swan Inn website claims that they're affiliated with the Scientific Paranormal Investigative Research Institute of Texas, which the acronym is SPIRIT, which is super fun. But like, I couldn't even find a website for that group.
Wait a minute. It's like, see that? Where's it saying that?
And to be fair, I didn't look super long, but like, yeah, it's, I was like, that's like, there's no link to it or anything. Okay, so this first video, which this one's like, I think Kenny's gonna, I don't even know what it's supposed to be. It says SLS footage from Black Valley Paranormal on Facebook, but I was like, what am I supposed to be seeing here? I mean, this is just like
random.
Yeah. Like, are we supposed to believe that there's someone sitting there based on these like random green lines?
So, I mean, I can comment on this extensively. So these cameras are, it's just the Xbox Kinect. That's all it is. Mm-hmm. And they plug it into a tablet. They plug it into a external battery and then put everything on a handle so they can walk around with it. And that right away breaks the rules from Microsoft. Supposed to be stationary so that it can see the environment and knows what's supposed to be in that environment, so that if anything enters it, that's a player. And it registers the player. That's it. So when they're walking around, they're already screwing it up because it's constantly trying to see a new environment. Mm-hmm. And it also makes mistakes. It has thousands upon thousands of reference material or reference points for different size and shapes of people. And when you walk around a place like this, where there's table and chairs, it's seeing the chairs as a possible person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like at one point it definitely marks the chair that's like furthest.
Yes.
Yeah, that furthest chair, like it's just marking points on that as if it's a person. It's trying to make right. it a person.
And that's exactly what it does. I've hooked it up to my laptop and walked around with it. And
yeah.
same thing where it's picked up chairs, it's picked up my vacuum cleaner. It's picked up a trash bag, I just pull the trash out of the kitchen trash can, tie it up and put it on the floor, and it picks it up as a figure.
Yeah.
And I assure you, my trash is not a ghost, but it sees all this different stuff. My ceiling fan, I mean, come on, it sees this stuff. It makes mistakes because it's not supposed to be used that way. And these ghost hunters keep using it this way because they get these anomalies, and it goes back to that idea of anomaly hunting. They're not looking for evidence. They're looking for just strange shit so they can pretend it's a ghost.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I mean, technically the device, it's not being used in the way it's supposed to be using, but it is working the way it's supposed to work. Like, like you said, it's supposed to be trying to figure out like, what is my frame of reference here? What am I looking at?
Exactly.
And like trying to turn that into like something it can interpret. But it's like you said, like I keep seeing videos like these and I feel like I haven't seen them in a, well, I haven't watched that many recent ghost shows, but I feel like I haven't seen them in a ghost show in a while. And like this video is from January 27th of this year. So it's like, this is recent. Like they were still walking around with these things for real.
Yeah. There are still plenty of teams that use this and they swear by it. And I continue. One of the things that I do point out is, okay, so your ghost is anchored to this spot. And that's 99% of the videos. They're anchored to one spot. They don't move. They don't walk around like you and me. They don't jump up and down. They don't like move to the left side of the room from the right side. They stay on one object.
Yeah.
And even though you point that out, I don't know why, but they still insist, no, it's a ghost. Because I can't.
Yeah. It would be more believable if it was like, oh my God, there's a stick figure person like walking across the room who's not there right now. Like I would shit my pants if I saw that like on one of these videos.
And here's the thing that completely blows this out. This camera, this SLS camera, this Xbox Kinect works on infrared light. Uh-huh. That's how it detects the objects or people coming in. Infrared light. Ghost hunters make it common use of infrared cameras that see infrared light. So here's the thing. If the camera's seen a ghost, your fucking night vision camera will also see it.
Yeah. I mean, to the credit of this video, they're doing this in the daytime. So
still, you should still be able to take your night vision camera and turn the night vision on. And it'll still pick up. I mean, because your digital cameras, even though it has an IR cut filter on it, even your still cameras will pick up infrared light. Mm-hmm. And the old thing where you take a TV remote, the old TV remotes that use infrared bulbs, if you point it at the lens, you can see it. You can see it light up. And this is the same concept. If you switched it to a any kind of surveillance camera that they use for like their DVR systems, they all can read infrared light or are sensitive to it. So you would be able to see whatever is creating this alleged ghost. And that's you can't see it. You're just seeing a chair. It's a chair. That's what it is.
Yeah. I guess like to that point, could like a, cause most like security cameras are infrared, right? Yes. So like, could a security camera that's just like running, because this is like a public event space, interfere with this kind of thing?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
So I've set it up where the Kinect was looking at my vacuum cleaner and had a stick figure on it.
Yeah.
And I used an infrared floodlight that's commonly used, you know, with cameras. It's usually a third party that's mounted on a camera. And just waved it in front of me so that it shined on the vacuum cleaner and it cleared the stick figure. Like it just appeared. So yes, all of these cameras that use infrared light, you are screwing it up. It's dependent on, not to get real technical, but it's dependent on an infrared speckle pattern, a specific one. So like if you've seen Paranormal Activity where they use this, it's like number four, that's exactly what it puts out. All those little dots, they're in a pattern. a specific pattern, and it knows where every single dot is. So when it's distorted or a different size, it knows that's telling the software where it is in space.
Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, when you use an infrared light and you destroy that infrared speckle pattern that it puts out, it can't see.
Mm-hmm.
It's confused. So you're going to mess it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Boom.
All right. Great. I wanted to do that one because like I knew that Kenny would rip it apart.
I hate that. I hate it.
And I do think that, it's just like crazy that, you know, it's 2021 and that we're still using these devices.
Doing this.
And it doesn't make any sense. Side note, on your interview that you did with Jason Haas, I was like super thrilled when he was like, yeah, the spirit box is garbage.
that was a real good interview because he some of the things he said, I was surprised that he said. And I think it, more or less, it's just not, he knew he wasn't on a show that was going to cater to him.
Yeah.
You know, and he could just relax and be honest and not get criticized for being honest. So
yeah. Yeah. True. Okay. So the next video. Okay. This is an EVP that was caught in the dairy barn because apparently the German immigrants were dairy farmers. So, you know, that's a pretty good EVP though.
Sure it is. Let's see.
So for listeners, this is a group of ghost hunters from the San Antonio Ghost Hunters. And this is a video that they took, I don't know, on some sort of meetup that they did. But they're in the barn and doing an EVP session. And they catch this female spirit supposedly saying he wants to run away. So I watched this at first without reading the description of the video and was like, I just hear people talking. And then I looked at what they said that the ghost is saying, and I was like, oh, that's like clear as day. So like,
okay, but like, isn't it just like the whispering is what is saying that?
Yeah, but
okay.
Yeah. So you heard the voice of like the woman being like, he wants to run away or whatever, right?
Well, yeah, but to me, it just literally sounds like one of the 15 people who are standing there.
Whatever. Yes. Yeah. So that was like exactly my impression was like, okay, so there's a bunch of people in this room. They're seems to be like a couple different people talking. Like, I think it's just somebody fucking around, right?
Right.
Yeah. You don't have one of the things that I've come across, and it's not deliberate all the time, is that people talk to themselves. You know, we say things out loud or in a whisper, and we don't realize that. I mean, sometimes when I'm really, really annoyed, yes, I say shit to people that I should not say out loud. And it just comes out like, you jackass. And then I only realize it when people are looking at me like, you just say that to me? I did. But like in this case, they're walking around. They're asking for a sign. You hear other people talking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like everyone's adhering to some rules like, oh shit, he just asked a question. We all should shut up. They are still talking.
Yeah, they're sort of just like murmuring the whole time.
Yeah. And that the what they have here, he wants to run away. To me, that sounds like one of them, you know, trying to speak for the alleged ghost that's there. Like, oh, he wants to help you. No, he probably just wants to run away.
Yeah. Or they're like shitting on the guy who's asking the questions
because
he's being a chicken. Okay, I've got another one. I know you guys are so excited. So this one is a news crew did a tour of the Black Swan Inn, and they catch something spooky while they're on their tour. You have to go to around the 1:40 mark is where you've got to go. So he keeps asking questions. You know, afterwards, like, are you a little girl? Are you a little boy? Which makes you think they didn't hear it in the moment. But yeah.
I mean, they're what we're seeing here during this video, it looks like it's just a photograph of the people there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not, nobody's moving. So, and yeah, it's definitely a photograph.
Okay.
So we don't know what's going on at the time. There's at least two people in the room.
Yeah.
And you can hear where they bump up the audio. So there's definitely a switch where they amplify it.
Yeah.
Which means it was much lower. And that kind of leads me to believe it was probably one of the people. I mean, you have two females and two males. And it sounded like a female voice.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been one of them in the background just giggling, you know, laughing. Yeah,
right.
You know?
Like I would be doing.
Yes,
right.
Yes. And this suffers from every other EVP. You don't have anything else to go by, you know, like we have nothing to say that it wasn't one of them. They could have been just standing there laughing.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool. We got a clip, you know, let's amplify it and call the news because that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, and I suppose on some level, like I can see looking at videos like this and putting out, you know, this podcast and the stuff that you do and everything as like maybe beneficial because like maybe somebody who does this stuff will hear it and be like, oh, I need to change my approach and like do a better job of documenting like who is in the room? Like, what could this possibly be? But, you know, probably we're just shining into the void.
We're not even sure that picture is from that moment.
Right. Right. Yeah.
You know, and that also tells us that there's five people in the room because somebody took the picture.
Sure. Sure. Okay. We're on our last EVP.
Yes.
Yeah. So this one's really subtle. But this is apparently, again, from the San Antonio Ghost Hunters, a video that they posted on Facebook, and they are doing the haunted sleepover at Victoria's Black Swan Inn on Halloween night, which, like, honestly sounds, like, super fun. but the guy's sitting on a couch or something, somebody's filming him. They boost the sound. They're, you know, telling the ghost, you know, we're not going to harm you, whatever. And then you hear like this very faint whistling noise sounding like it's coming from the distance or in the distance. It's like at 12 seconds is the exact moment you hear a little like, wah, wah.
Wow, that's.
And they react to it. So they hear it in the moment because it's not actually an EVP because it's like they actually hear it in the moment.
Right.
But. Yeah, like it's just somebody whistling who's in the middle.
Yeah, it sounds it sounds pretty far off, and I hear something high pitched, but it's I mean, yeah, that there's nothing to go on here. All right, it's a really faint, far away sound. They heard it, but nobody got off their ass to go see if they could find something.
Yeah, they just sit there. They're like, oh, do you hear that? But I mean, I guess the video doesn't go on, but it's like, yeah, the correct response to this would be like, hey, go walk down the hallway, see if anybody's there. Go like ask some, you guys probably aren't alone.
Right.
It's Halloween night. I think they do some sort of like event at this place, like associated with Halloween. So it's like, go see if somebody else was whistling.
Yeah.
But anyway.
They claim nobody was there, but I guess we don't, you know, I wonder if they actually looked.
Oh, but no one was in there. Oh, so they do claim that they went and checked to see if anyone was there. Okay. Well.
But even still, like, how close are you to a window?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and they did say that. So for the paranormal groups that rent this place out on their website, they did say that, like, for overnight stuff, they, like, shut down their air conditioning system and they shut off their electrical as well. Like they just go with like candles and stuff like that. So that way, I guess, to like minimize interference. So there like is actually some a little bit of control that's been taken over the situation. But I guess to Paige's point, that makes me wonder like, did somebody get hot and open a window? Like, I don't know.
Let's see here. I'm looking because the directions, the map location on the website puts it right in like right on the side of a neighborhood.
Oh, so he's doing like the real due diligence.
Hey, you know, this is your fault. You got me into this. So, yeah, this is putting it. It's right next to a development, a neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at it as well. And it's like. They sort of make it sound like the pictures that they take of it and stuff sort of make it sound like it's pretty remote. And I guess like it does look like it's on a fairly big piece of property and there's like several buildings
right.
associated with it. But like, yeah, not that far away.
Well, and it's There's Halloween night.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
So like
yeah.
people are walking around and like.
Yeah. yeah. But there are like two like what look like pretty big like housing developments close by.
Yeah. yeah. It's almost like right in the middle of three of them. Two of them are much closer. The other one is mm-hmm. not like. It's not like saying, oh, well, this one is further away. It's maybe we're rich.
yeah, I guess I was picturing this place being like out in the right. country. But
And it looks like there's a walking path right in front of it. There's yeah. a main road that's not far from it.
And yeah.
Yeah, like the people's backyards are butted up against the property.
It could very well just be like someone calling their yeah. dog in at night. Yeah.
And he's, you know, this is good though, because these are things people don't look at. Mm-hmm. You're right. Most people will look at the website and think, oh, well, this is out in the country. It's nowhere near anything. And
right.
when you start looking at a satellite view and you're like, oh, crap, you know, you could throw a tennis ball and hit someone in their backyard.
Yeah.
That's our So.
yeah, I guess I didn't really look at what the scale of my map is at, but. Oh, yeah. They're like barely. To maybe 400 feet, 300 feet away from the backyards of these houses or the across the street from these houses.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. Thanks, Google Maps.
definitely something to consider next time they go.
Yeah, here we are, debunking ghosts on Google Maps. Yeah. Okay. Last video. I know you guys are excited. This one's from Instagram, so I am hoping that it will let Paige watch it, but maybe it won't. We'll find out. You see the thing, like, moving?
Figure?
Yeah.
In what looks like...
Okay, they repeat it. Yeah, it looks like it's on stairs, like, in the next room, maybe?
I think this is just a... I don't like what they're doing here. They have... This video looks to be like they're using a fisheye lens. The widest view on their camera, which almost goes into fisheye. And I don't know if he's just holding it bad or if the cover on the lenses, because you have that straight piece of glass or plastic that covers your lenses on your phone. Because this looks like his phone. It doesn't look like an actual camera.
Yeah.
But it looks like it's dirty as shit. Like, it's horrible.
Yeah.
And that he's in a room filled with junk.
He says that he's in the milk barn. So I think they just sort of like use that as like storage space.
Let me see. Can I blow this up? Oh, I can blow it up a little bit. There we go.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like the thing moves. Here's what it looks like to me. It looks like somebody's like on a staircase in the next room and like looks into this room and is like, oh shit, someone's filming in there. And then like heads back up the stairs.
It literally just looks like a person moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're looking at here, people, because I keep forgetting to do this, this is a video from Instagram of someone doing a solo session in the milk barn. So they're just taking video in the milk barn on the Black Swan Inn property. And it's very shitty footage. Like, it's really hard to see anything, but sort of in the middle of the video, and they repeat it a few times and slow it down. You see like some sort of figure maybe in the next room, a dark, you know, shadow figure that does look like a person moving around. And yeah, I mean, I think it's a person. I mean,
So here's what I'm getting out of this.
Okay.
I'm seeing this room and it's dark and I'm wondering why we have these lightened bars on the sides. So it looks like a distortion. It almost, as I think Paige, you said it looks like we're looking through glass almost, because the sides are just, there's this white blurring effect.
I think that's their dreamy filter.
I think it's the filter, yes. They say in the thing, the shot was so dark, we had to use dreamy filter in iMovie to brighten it up. So I think like that blurring at the sides is the filter.
I think they're using that to hide something because I'm looking at this dead center in the beginning of the video is a doorway. It's an open doorway with light streaming in.
Uh-huh.
I don't think where this figure is a doorway or a window. I think it's a mirror. because when I'm looking, when it gets I'm seeing almost shelves or something going across it, like a mirrored background for shelves. And I'm thinking that whatever this is, it's a reflection of somebody on the left side of the video, because that's where this white filter thing is the strongest.
And you could be right.
It's completely obliterating the left side of the video. We can't see it. So I'm wondering if this guy, they figured out the angle and just took some video and said, all right, maybe just in case we can see you, we're gonna put this filter on here. And you can stand up and then I'll turn the camera to me, which the camera turns to the right away from where the guy would be.
Uh-huh.
Instead of turning it towards the left where, I mean, that's where you should be turning the camera.
Right.
And it's not even an infrared camera. It's a horrible, because everything's so dark and you're getting that silhouette effect coming from the light coming in the doorway in the center of it. So it's putting everything else in silhouette. So it's very hard. I could actually, if later on I'm going to download this video, I'm going to steal it and then lighten it up and see if I can see it better.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. That's crazy. I was just looking at it thinking it was a window, but you're probably right.
Yeah. I thought we were looking through like a doorway.
Yeah. Because there's no light. There's no, yeah. I mean, comparing it to the doorway that it has sunlight coming in. Mm-hmm. That's nowhere near as bright. And I just don't like that filter. That filter is annoying as fuck.
Okay. Well, anyway, here's the thing. Here's the thing for the Black Swan Inn. Again, claimed to be one of the most haunted places, has been featured on at least a couple of different TV shows. And like the most I could find was like, basically just sort of small videos from ghost investigation groups that were sort of a very questionable quality. But, you know, I assume like I was Googling, you know, these are some of the top results that showed up on Google or YouTube or wherever. So presumably these are like some of the, at least the most popular examples, which I would think would be,
right,
you know, meaning they're some of the quote unquote better ones. Kenny, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to remind listeners of or plug or whatever?
Absolutely. So let's see. Well, to remind listeners, just do your research. I mean, look into every detail. Don't just take things at face value. That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
Because there's explanation. There is an explanation for everything. It's just the matter of how far you're willing to dig to find it.
Yeah.
So do your research, read a book, a science book, not a ghost hunting book, because they're not worth it, really.
Yeah.
But for other things I want to plug, sure, I do my live stream show every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, and it's called The Skeptical Help Bar. It goes to YouTube and my Facebook page. I am Kenny Biddle. So just look up my name. You'll find it. And it's 2 hours. You can ask questions. I drink. I usually get drunk by the end. So It's fun. We have a good time. And then Saturday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, I do Three Tortured Souls with Tim Vickers and Dave Schumacher. And like I said in the beginning, we science the shit out of one topic. We pick one and we research it for a few days, and then we talk about it.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is August 20th to 22nd, I'll be in Gettysburg again for the Gettysburg Battlefield Bash, which is a conference that benefits Pennsylvania Wounded Warriors and kids with cancer. So it's a good cause. I have a can set up for donations to the Cancer Research Institute. So if you want to ask me questions and sit down and have a discussion, or if you even just, you know, if you're a believer and you just want to yell at me for a couple minutes, it's totally cool. Just make a donation. That's all I ask.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it for now. So there you go.
Great.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Kenny.
Yeah, thank you again. This was great. We still have like an enormous list of stuff, so we're going to have to do it again. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're one of us now. So like,
damn right. You're my spooky science sisters. I'm your spooky science brother.
It's only a matter of time before we come knocking on your door again.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Anytime you want to knock, go ahead.
Alrighty. Well, that wraps up our second episode with Mr. Kenny Biddle on stuff. On stuff. I don't know what we just talked about, but it was pretty cool. on debunking hauntings. Tune in to episode 31 for a discussion on spooky movie science. If you like this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at SpookySciPod, Facebook at Spooky Science Sisters, and at our website, SpookyScienceSisters.com. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at SpookyScienceSisters@gmail.com. As always, thank you for listening and stay spooky.
This podcast is a part of Straight Up Strange Productions. Discover more shows like this one at straightupstrange.com.
Coming up on 5 Minute News, I'm Anthony Davis. You might think it's partisan because maybe it's critical of one side or the other, but it's not. It's just the truth. And I think that's also something that's kind of unusual for Americans listening to the radio or to podcasts, because the news landscape in the States has been so partisan for so many decades. So 5 Minute News is verified, truthful, independent, unbiased, and essential world news daily.